Yesterday, I was talking with a friend of mine in the States. It was the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. That's why Our Lady of Fatima is still here in the sanctuary. And I said, well, and tomorrow is the Feast of St. Matthias. And he said, no, it's the Feast of the Ascension. And so we have this strange liturgical anomaly that the traditional date of the Ascension is the 40th day after Easter, which is today, Ascension Thursday. Not just traditional, it's in the scriptures, in St. Luke, or in Acts of the Apostles. After 40 days of appearing, Jesus ascended to the Father. We're going to celebrate that here in the Philippines on Sunday. So it's a funny thing. We get to celebrate the Feast of St. Matthias today, but we won't get the seventh Sunday of Easter. My friend's location, they will have the Feast of the Ascension today, but they won't get St. Matthias, but they will get the celebration of the seventh Sunday of Easter. Well, that's the way it is. Here we are. It is the 40th day, which means tomorrow is the beginning of our novena to the Holy Spirit. It's always Friday of the sixth week of Easter. Start praying to the Holy Spirit in preparation for the great Feast of Pentecost, which is the following Sunday. Okay, so here we are. It's the Feast of St. Matthias. I came into the chapel today and I saw Our Lady of Fatima was still here. It made me think a little bit about Our Lady and her relationship with the apostles, because today's Feast of an Apostle, Matthias. Now, Matthias was not one of the original 12, as we know. The very point of this feast day is to show that someone was chosen to replace Judas. But what we don't know very much about Matthias, but we know that he was among the disciples of Jesus from the time of Jesus' baptism until the time he was taken up, which is the whole public ministry. So Matthias was around a lot, which means he certainly knew the Blessed Virgin Mary because Mary was with the apostles. In fact, on the Feast of Pentecost, which we'll celebrate in a week and a half or in 10 days, Mary was with the apostles, meaning also with Matthias. Well, actually, her statue is still here because of yesterday and also because it's the month of May. But here we're focusing on Matthias. It's a little difficult to focus on him because we really don't know anything about him other than that he was chosen to replace Judas. He's never mentioned in the scriptures except in the few verses that we have in today's first reading. It's a little humorous that we know more about the guy who wasn't chosen because we know more names. He was Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justice. So he had three names. Matthias only had one name. That's about all we know about him. The tradition is that Matthias was martyred, and it's almost certainly true because that's the way it was with the apostles and the early Christians, but we don't have reliable historical evidence of it. But Matthias represents the continuity of the church, the ongoing mission of the church, and the ability of the church to transcend scandals and the human failings of her leaders and of her members. The betrayal of Judas, which was a terribly tragic decision on his part, was in the plan of God also the means by which Jesus offered himself and did not stop the mission of the church. Sometimes we think of the 12 as a kind of closed circle because they were the ones personally chosen by Jesus himself. So, and they do stand out as a significant a number. Maybe they represented the 12 tribes. That the one who fell away had to be replaced, that makes some sense to us. Peter says that it's even scripturally foretold, may another take his office. But actually, the circle is not as closed as we might think. And this Easter season has given us a chance to reflect on how the church grew from the 12, from the day of Pentecost, and then the gradually expanding circle of disciples. Yes, Matthias, he was chosen even before Pentecost. Then we've been reading about the ministry of Peter and John, the apostles. Then the selection of the seven, remember? Stephen, Philip, and the others. Then the miraculous selection of Saul, who becomes Paul the Apostle, Paul and Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Titus, and we start to get a circle of people who are, well, sometimes referred to as apostles, but not the 12. Paul was certainly an apostle. Barnabas is honored as an apostle, sort of. and then it gets bigger and a little bit more vague. Well, yes, these men who worked with the apostles and who did apostolic work, they start to become bishops. And now we honor the successors of the apostles as the bishops, or the bishops we see as the successors of the apostles. And there's more than 12 bishops. So that's where this feast takes us, into the extension of the life of the church to our very day. The fall of one bishop or another is not going to stop the mission of the church. The martyrdom of one bishop or another is not going to stop the church. The Lord has in mind a way to continue the journey. He has already chosen people to take on this work. Part of the beauty of this passage about the selection of Matthias is that Peter is the one who raised the issue that he needs to be replaced. But how he was replaced was interesting. They had this nomination. They chose two. I don't know how many were qualified, but at least two were qualified. People who had been with Jesus for the whole of his public ministry. And then they prayed. It's a beautiful prayer. You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic ministry. Show us which one you have chosen. The understanding of the apostles was God had already chosen somebody. We just didn't know who it was. And that's a beautiful way to understand the mystery of vocation, the mystery of individual missionary work. God is the one who chooses. God is the one who chooses. And he has already chosen people who don't even know themselves that they've been chosen, and no one else knows. It's in the plan of God. That's why today's gospel is chosen to go with the Feast of St. Matthias, partly because of this line, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. It was God who chose Matthias, and he made the choice known to the disciples. Well, God chose us too. God has chosen each one of us for a specific task in the kingdom. We might not even know what it is, but there's no doubt God has chosen us and has a plan for us. No doubt. In fact, he's always had, he chose us before we were even conceived. In the eternal plan of God, each one of us has a place. Part of the wisdom of calling on the Holy Spirit, as we will do starting tomorrow, the novena to the Holy Spirit, part of the wisdom of calling on the Holy Spirit is so that the eternal plan of God, the great plan of God, becomes known to us. Because so much of the time we're in ignorance, and so much of the time our own weakness drags us down. But deep down, we want to know what God has in mind. What has always been God's good choice for us? What is his good choice for the church and for the world? That is made known to us through the Holy Spirit. We also continue to ask the intercession of Mary, yes, Our Lady of Fatima, Mary, Queen of the Apostles, Mary, who is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, Mary, who is the best at recognizing the plan of God when it's revealed and saying yes to it. So with her intercession and with the intercession of St. Matthias, we continue to go forward in this adventure of serving the risen Lord in the power of the Spirit.